Thank you for that introduction. Can y'all hear me all right? Okay. Good morning to everybody. Thank you for making it out here. Like she said, I'm going to be talking about the effects of nitrogen and potassium rates and timing on cotton yield and fiber quality. So this is kind of how it's going to be laid out. I'm going to go over the nitrogen study first, and then I'm going to do the potassium study. The objective of this was to find trends in growth and yield under a variety of timings and rates for nitrogen and potassium. If you have poor application timing, it may render nutrients unavailable when they're needed. And if you spoon feed nutrients, it may be logistically inconvenient or economically draining. But the timing and rate decisions are made on a case-by-case basis. So when you have relevant research available for growers, then it makes their decision making a lot better. Just some general cotton fertility. There's a high nutrient requirement after squares start appearing. Peak uptake for nutrients is about 45 days after emergence. And cotton is particularly sensitive to nitrogen, potassium, sulfur, and boron. Few things, so I'm going to start with the nitrogen study now. And if you need to know, it's at the top left corner of which study I'm doing. So nitrogen is too high. There's a whole bunch of things that can happen, but most notably, you can have rank growth and reduced fiber quality. And if it's too low, there's a large reduction in vegetative growth. So there are 8 treatments total. 2 rates, 3 timings, and a control. There was a single 20-pound pre-plant application. The 80 pounds was based off the NCDA base recommendation for nitrogen. The NCDA, North Carolina Department of Agriculture, they recommend 50 to 70 pounds of nitrogen, so that's a little on the low side. We figure so 80 pounds recommended. The data collected, nodes above white flower 3 different times. There was a nodes above white flower collected at early bloom, 3 weeks after lay-by, which we were referred to as second lay-by, and then there was a nodes above white flower in petiole sample 2 weeks after the second lay-by, so 5 weeks after lay-by. And at 60% crack bowl, we recorded height, nose to first fruiting branch, nose to uppermost crack bowl, nose to uppermost harvestable bowl, and total nodes. And then there was yield and fiber quality collected at the end of the season. If you look at the chart at the bottom, the treatments, obviously CHK is the check, 20 is control, or 20 is pre-plant, 20 pounds at pre-plant. And 80 is 80 pounds of pre-plant. After that, it says 20, 60. That is 20 pre-plant, 60 at the lay-by plus 3 weeks, and then, or at lay-by, and then 20, 30, 30 is 20 pre-plant, 30 at lay-by, and then 30 at lay-by plus 3 weeks, and then it continues like that. And it'll be the same throughout all the other figures. As you can see, the top right in figure 1, there is a increased nodes with rates and timing. So the total nodes increased, also the uppermost harvestable bowl increased, and heights increased. There's a strong response to tissue nitrogen with rates and timings. So basically that tells me I applied it correctly and that the tissue analysis was done correctly. Lint yield, you can tell once it got to 80 pounds per acre, there was no yield difference whatsoever. The check and the 20 were the same, but there's kind of that line right there, pretty distinct. As you can see, the control and treatment 2, the top left going to your right, those first 2, there's a visual difference in the size of the plant itself. but I wouldn't really look at the colors on these too much because the saturation and things were thrown off. But the visually, the height is the big difference. So the fiber quality was, for every treatment, avoided the discount range, so there was no change in fiber quality that we saw. There's no response for first fritting branch or nose above crack bowl, and nose above uppermost, nose to uppermost harvestable bowl was affected by rate and split timings. So in summary, the NCDA's recommendation is pretty reasonable. The tissue percent nitrogen was not a good indicator of yield, which is kind of known. It should be a tissue sample should be used for fertilizer adjustments. Split applications neither improves nor reduces lint yield significantly. Heights, total nodes, and nose to uppermost harvestable bowl increase with nitrogen rates and had no effect on nose to first fruiting branch. We'll start with the potassium study. A little background. Potassium is less leachable than nitrogen, but may need replacing on highly leachable soils and leaching conditions. So if you have soils that are saturated for a very long time, you may need to replace potassium. Or if you have soils that are just naturally highly leachable, like very sandy soils, they may need replacing. Low potassium causes premature leaf shedding and dwarfed immature bowls. And proper potassium nutrition is known to improve fiber length, strength, and micronair. A recent NCDA report shows that soil samples in cotton fields were 64% of the time high to very high in potassium. Cotton potassium deficiencies were more common due to high uptake and inefficient absorption. So like I said, at about 45 days or when fruit starts showing, the cotton plant needs a lot of nutrients. During bowl field, cotton requires anywhere from 3 to 5 kilograms per hectare of potassium per day. The material and methods, the data I collected is the exact same as the nitrogen study. So just some nose above white flower, and at 60% crack bowl, we collected a few things, and then yield and fiber quality. There's 10 treatments, 3 rates, 3 times in control. And the lay-by plus 3 weeks is there just in case you have to come back and fix a highly leachable event, or if you just come back and split apply it twice. The tissue potassium percent responded to rates and timings, and there was no significant difference in heights. There was no significant difference in any of the nose above white flower counts either. There was not a response to yield. And the all the treatments avoided a discount, avoided discount for fiber quality. There's no apparent trend found with nose to first fruiting branch or nose above crack bowl, and nose to uppermost harvestable bowl was affected by a very low potassium rate. So the control. In summary, tissue percent potassium did not correspond to lint yield. Fiber quality was not significantly affected. Growth and maturity were not significantly affected. And splitting applications will not harm your yield. I would like to acknowledge the North Carolina Cotton Producers Association, Cotton Incorporated, my committee members, the research stations that helped with our research, and my research technician. There's the literature cited. With that, I'll take any questions. Yes, in the front.
I may have missed it. Did you measure the soil potassium level?
Yes, sir. We took a soil sample in the field we were going to be doing. That's actually what the 1X rate was based on for all of our treatments. So the question was, what was the potassium rate and timing for the nitrogen study? It was just the whatever the NCDA soil test came back. They just went off of they did the regular application. So whatever the North Carolina Cotton Handbook says, you, generally it changes from place to place. It's either all pre-plant at some places, places where it's more leachable, then they probably split applied it. So, yes, sir, in the back. So we had Rocky Mount, and then we had Lewiston, and then we had one in Sand Hills. The Lewiston and Rocky Mount soil types were fairly high fertility soils, and then you go to Sand Hills, and it's somewhere like 80% sand, and it's or something like that. And it's really high sand. So that Sand Hills was more there for a highly leachable environment. So, yes, sir. The nitrogen source was a 30-00, and the potassium was, I think it was 0060. It was potassium chloride, I think so. Oh, yes, sir.
So in your yield chart, your 110-pound rate for the nitrogen had the highest yield, but you still in your summary included the NCDA 50 to 70 pounds. I mean, they're not statistically significant.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, so you would say that 50 to 70 pounds is adequate for North Carolina?
I would say, so the question was, since the 110 pounds did yield a little higher than the rest of it. Would I say that the NCDA's recommendation was okay? I would say yes, that because after a certain point, you would be putting it down for a little bit of extra yield, but it probably wouldn't pay off in the end. I haven't done the economics on that, but I will eventually, but that's.
Y'all get any pre-plant ammonia nitrate present?
Oh no, in North Carolina we generally just assume that there's no nitrogen in the soil going into the season. All right, thank you.